Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
I am the one.
Classroom, guys, if you guys are just now tuning in to listen, Motivational Classroom is where we come together, we learn together, we grow together, right? So today I'm going to be talking about the Orishas, right? And this Orisha Achosi, okay? So when it comes to the Orishas, guys, you can go back in the archives. We have done a lot of podcasts on Orishas, but in this Back to the Basics season, right? And then the classroom, guys, Achosi, you know, this one is strong on the radar now. So I want to illustrate a picture of painting it in a positive, male perspective and also a female perspective when it comes to Achosi. And then I open the phone lines at the end of the podcast, guys. So if you want to weigh in, definitely the number to call in is 929-477-3423. Press 1 if you would like to speak to the host. So let's go ahead and listen to a male perspective and also a female particular classroom. And Achosi is very interesting. There's also a book that I would recommend for you guys to get. Where's my book? Grasping the Root of Divine Power. I'll put the link in the show notes, but the book is called Grasping the Root of Divine Power. It teaches you on African spirituality. It's where I started, right? So when it comes to, African spirituality, I think it's only 7 that he included in here. And I'm going to also do a podcast tomorrow on Ashu, right? But be sure to get this book, you guys. This book is a great starting point if you guys are wanting to learn. I got a signed copy. What is Divination? Man and Woman, Australia, R.E. The Orishas, the 7 African Powers. I mean, he has a lot of stuff. The Many Faces of the OBI, you know, it's just a lot of stuff. How to Read with the Shells, right? And just to let you guys know, I am still learning myself, right? So please be sure to do that, all right? So let's just see what all right. I'll be back to discuss here now, you guys.
I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before.
Welcome back to another edition of Mythical Beings and Deities. On this show, I will venture throughout time and history to discuss a wide range of deities which have been worshipped, prayed, and had stories told on their behalf from all over the world. Hope you enjoy this segment and leave a comment below if you have any suggestions or deities you'd like us to discuss. On today's episode, we'll be discussing Achosi, the mystical hunter warrior, the Orisha of Justice. Achosi is an Orisha of the Yoruba religion in West Africa. The Orisha, Achosi, is venerated in the Yoruba culture, the Homi mythology, Bodo, Santeria, Candomblé, Haitian Vodou, and Umbanda practices. All these practices come from places such as Nigeria, Benin, Brazil, and Haiti. However, its origins and birth come from the Yoruba people of Nigeria. Now, if learning from the mistakes of a person, that person would be a chosen, and you will soon learn why. A chosen is the spirit associated with hunting, forest, animals, justice, and an abundance of wealth. He is the spirit of the daily living every day, because it is he who provides food for the gods while out hunting in the celestial forest. He is associated with lightness, shrewdness, wisdom, and he is very crafty when it comes to hunting. He is the Orisha of thought, confrontation, action, loving fine art, and beautiful things of earthly and heavenly nature. He hunts with a special bow and arrow called an offer, hunting for good influences and righteous energy. Animals sacrificed to a chosen are goats, cooked pig, and guinea fowl. The salutation of the chosen Yoruba tradition is Eku Arobi, meaning good afternoon, and other greetings which may come to life in the future. Achosi's consecrated day is Thursday. His ritual color garment is blue. Sacred food to honor Achosi is maize cooked with coconut, black beans, yams, and roasted cowpeas. And he wears a necklace with blue beads. Achosi has the archetype of power and dominance. His symbols are the bow and arrow. Achosi is also syncretized with Saint Sebastian in the Rio de Janeiro region, who is the patron saint of the city. Achosi, also spelled as O-X-O-S-I, is a supreme stealthy hunter who lives in the woods. He is not only known for his excellent hunting skills, but he is also a warrior with excellent arrow skills, a top-tier marksman, and a magician with a mystical foresight and shamanistic powers. Achosi is also the spirit of justice and the defender slash patron of those who have had great injustice served upon them. Achosi, during his time on earth, was only a mortal man, a huntsman that became an Orisha. According to a sacred story, also known as the Taki, Achosi was once given a test by Alegwa Eshu. Alegwa, also known as a trickster, but a powerful Orisha, Alegwa asked Achosi to hunt a bear bird for a ruler. A ruler is a wise spirit, an Orisha that can see the future. A ruler wanted the rare bird as a gift for the mighty Orisha Olohun. Olohun is one of the three manifestations of the Supreme Creator in the Yoruba religion. Achosi agreed, and without even knowing, the spirit, slash Orishas, were already putting Achosi to the test. Now, since Achosi is a skilled hunter and had no problems finding his prey, he agreed and caught the rare bird in a matter of minutes. He caged it and brought it back home. Immediately thereafter, he informed the ruler that he had caught the bird. However, unlike Achosi, bird in a cage and thought that a Chelsea had caught it for dinner. She then killed the bird and seasoned it well. She then went out to the local market to buy some more ingredients to cook it with. During this time, the Chelsea came home to find that the bird had been killed to his great disbelief and anger. However, he had no time to worry about who killed the rare bird, because he had already informed the ruler that he caught the rare bird earlier. So with his quick thinking, he went out to catch another one of those rare birds. And he was successful again. A Chelsea then accompanied a ruler and gave the bird to Alofi. Alofi was so delighted with the gift that he gave a Chelsea a crown and made him an Orisha right there on the spot. Alofi then asked the Chelsea whether there was anything else he wished for. A Chelsea demanded justice and asked to shoot an arrow into the air and have it pierce the heart of whoever killed the first bird he caught. Now, since Alofi was all-knowing, he asked the Chelsea whether he was sure that this is what he wanted. A Chelsea replied in their verdict, saying that he wanted justice. Alofi granted this, and as soon as the Chelsea shot an arrow into the air, he heard his mother scream and cry out in pain. All of a sudden, a Chelsea realized what he had done. He was disheartened, but he knew that justice had been served. This is why Alofi made it a Chelsea part, hunt for the truth, and serve the sentence to whomever and wherever he goes. There are also many stories and myths regarding the Chelsea and well other known Orishas. It is said that the Chelsea lives in an iron cold bed with Ogun, the Orisha of iron and war. This special cauldron is placed next to Allegra, a trickster god of knowledge and wisdom. Most potassians think that Ogun, Allegra, and Achosi are brothers, but they may have different mothers and fathers. For example, Yemaya is often mentioned as Achosi's mother, whereas Yemu, also known as Yombo, is the mother of Allegra and Ogun. According to some folklore myths, Ogun and Achosi were always on friendly terms, but they came to understand that they needed each other and made a pact to always work together. When the earth was first formed, there were so many forests that Achosi had a hard time getting to his prey when he hunted. His arrow never missed the mark, but there were no paths or clearings, so he couldn't reach to the animal he had killed, and he ended every hunt with no food. He had a similar problem. He was great at making metal traps, but he could never catch anything in the traps. Each one went to complain to a ruler about their problems, and a ruler suggested they go individually to make a book, which is an ox. In the forest, they ran into each other while they were going to make an offering, and they started to talk. Soon, they realized that together, they could do much more than they even could be alone. A Chelsea could hunt and kill animals for food, and Ogun could use his machete to clear the path. This way, a Chelsea could reach his prey, and he could share the food with Ogun. This explains why a Chelsea and Ogun are inseparable. A Chelsea one of the four warriors, Allegra, Ogun, and Oshun. These days are Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and the fourth day of every month. The Chelsea symbol is a crossbow and arrow. These tools include three arrows, three hunting dogs, a small mirror, a piece of stag's horn, a fishing hook, and a scalpel, which makes you protection important for people undergoing surgery. He's also the owner of all kinds of hunting birds, like falcons and hawks, and he looks after wildlife in general. Some also say he's the patron of those who work with dogs measures out justice to those who mistreat folks. The aleki or achosi is usually blue and yellow, sometimes with green, cori, or amber beads. His numbers are 3, 4, and 7. He's syncretized in the Catholic religion with St. Mary. His feast day is June 6th. Achosi's children are quick on their feet, have excellent reflexes, are sharp and attentive, fully intuitive. They love change and new adventures. Sometimes they have a desire to wander, but normally they enjoy family life and are hospitable to others. Achosi's children are trustworthy and truthful. Offerings for Achosi is often left in front of a jail or a courthouse. In order to petition Achosi for justice, the seeker must be in the right. This is to say, someone who has been falsely accused or is being victimized by a wrongdoer can ask Achosi for intervention, and Achosi will deliver swift justice.
Swift justice. Oh, yeah. Powerful. All right, royalty.
If you enjoy this content,
I'm going to put that in a... as you guys know, that's no stranger to ear. Everything will be in the show notes, right? All the references will be in the show notes after the podcast has completed. But... yes, very interesting. I like to look at deities as energy, right? Energy spaces in which we resonate with. And a lot of us are coming through a healing time. A lot of us are coming through a cleansing time. And I think Achosi, this energy is, you know, definitely present. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, this is my gratitude to the Orishas, you know, in my way. And just a reminder to everyone, this is Motivational Classroom. So I personally am still learning when it comes to the Orishas. So I just like to share with you what I'm learning as I grow too, you know what I mean? So if you guys have any insight or, you know, you want to teach or you want to expound on anything that I'm sharing, you can always use my information in the show notes, my link tree. You can see the services that I offer, and as well as contacting me by email if need be. All right? All right, so that was from the male perspective of Achosi. Now let's hear the female perspective on what she has to say on Achosi as well. And I remember doing this with Eternal. We actually talked about this about 6 months ago. Also, so in the archives, guys, we have done these shows 2 and 3 times over. So you can always check out the different perspectives in the archives. All right, guys. This is a female perspective.
Hello, you all. I'm Black Witch Yaya. Thank you so much for tuning into this video. We are back with another story of the Orisha. Today, we are going to do the story of Ochoisi. Ochoisi is a very complex Orisha, so I have a lot of information on them. But you guys let me know if you like the longer versions of the video, or do you just prefer a part one and part two? And I'll be able to see by the analytics as well. But this is going to be a pretty juicy story. The crystal of the day is the black obsidian, which is a truth-enhancing crystal. A strong protective stone, it forms a shield against negativity, blocks physical attacks that others may cause, absorbs negative energies from the environment and people, and draws out mental stress and tension. It stimulates growth on all levels, urging exploration of the unknown and opening new horizons. You can get your black obsidian from BlackWitchYaya.com. So Ochoisi lives in the woods and is a great hunter and fisherman. Along with those qualities, he's really into balance. He is the Orisha that's over being aware of your self-growth and the growth in nature as well, so we can both coincide and live in harmony, and that we ourselves are a relation to our environment, and the environment is a relation to us, and we're both reflections of each other. So it's not only important to be aware of what's going on within you, but what's going on with your surroundings as well. And we will notice the theme of balance and justice. You guys know at the end of all of my videos, I say, as above, so below, as within, so without, as a universal, the soul. That quote within itself just always reminds me of a choice, just because he is all about balance, quality, and growing in harmony within ourselves and within nature. And throughout this video, and as you hear the stories, you will hear a lot about justice and balance and just being equal and fair and showing respect to ourselves and showing respect to our environment. And when lack of respect or support is present, you will feel the wrath of a choice, but we will hear a little bit about that later. So diving more into the nature aspect, you guys know within spirituality, we use 50, 11 million types of herbs and really are one with nature, whether we burn sage, using some chamomile for peace, or using some patchouli for prosperity, whichever herbs you lean to when it comes to your spell work, when it comes to your teas, when it comes to your cleansing. This knowledge is related to a choice because he is known as the magician of the forest or the magician of nature, just because he obtains all the knowledge on the type of herbs and their purposes. You go to a botanica or any type of metaphysical shop and you see someone that's saying, this herb is good for this. You want to use jasmine for this. You want to use rose petals for this. You want to use this type of herb for this. They're exercising the power of a choice just because he holds the knowledge to all of the elements of nature. So with a choice being a hunter, a fisherman, all about justice and fairness, and also has the knowledge that he has about nature, he was also a provider as well for his family, his extended family, and the families in the villages. So much about nature and hunting, it's almost like it just came easy to him. He knows when he goes on a mission to find game, to track down animals, he was going to come back with something just based off of his knowledge. Now, with his knowledge, they say the secret to his ashe was held within his pet parrot, who provided the medicine for his hunting, which was basically a mixture of herbs that he put at the end of his arrow, because one of his symbols and tools is the bow and arrow. He would sprinkle some at the end for precision, bravery, and accuracy when it comes down to hunting animals. So keep this in mind for the story that we are about to dive into. He had a pet parrot that basically was his familiar. We can use that as a comparison. So it held his ashe, his knowledge. So he was a part of the parrot, and the parrot was a part of him. They were together, and everybody knew that. Wherever you see the parrot, you're going to see a choice right around the corner if he's not just sitting on his shoulder. So along with the crossbow, some other tools that a choice liked to use was 3 arrows, 3 hunting dogs, a small mirror, a piece of stag's horn, a fishing hook, and a scalpel. He is also the owner of all kinds of hunting birds like falcons, hawks, and he looks after wildlife in general. Some also say he's the patron of those who work with dogs, and he measures out justice, there's that justice word again, to those who mistreat dogs. So now that we know some more qualities and a choice of tools, let's get into the first story. Now, for this story, there are 2 different versions, so I'm going to share both versions just because there's 2 different potties, but the moral of the story at the end is the same. So here is the first story. So one day, majority of the animals left the forest for some odd reason. Hunting was a bit scarce. The choice usually can go into the forest, knock down a few animals, feed the families in the village along with himself with no problem. But during this period, the animals were scarce. They migrated somewhere, we don't know, but it took him a while to go hunting. So instead of working his parrot like crazy, he decided to leave his pet parrot with his grandmother. He loved his grandmother so much and knew that he would be in good hands, he or she, whether the parrot was he or she. But he knew that the parrot would be in good hands at his grandmother's house. So he dropped off his parrot. He continued to go into the forest to find food for his family, the families in the villages, and himself as well. So he had the medicine that the parrot provided for his hunting to, you know, provide bravery, precision, and just accuracy and guidance throughout his hunting process. So he went hunting for days and days and days, just trying to provide the food that he usually does for the people depending on him. So one day he came across a bush rat and he struck gold. He used his bow and arrow to strike the animal, got it right on point. And so he was like, all right, I can feed the people with this. We're good to go. So he makes his way back to his grandmother's house. First, he wants to address his parrot like, hey, look what I got. Thank you so much. He goes into the cage where his parrot was supposed to be, only to find feathers of the parrot. Now, he goes outside, kicking and screaming and crying because that was his beloved parrot. That was like his best friend, where you've seen the choicey, you've seen the parrot as well. So he was highly upset. You know, he's all about justice and fairness. So he took his bow and arrow, he struck it into the air, and he stated, let this strike the person who ate my parrot. Because he knew someone ate it. People were hungry, food was scarce, so he knew someone ate my parrot for food. So he goes back inside to prepare the meal, and then he notices his grandmother lying on the floor with a bow through her chest. I know that's pretty scary, huh? But before we dissect that story, let's go on to the next one. So Elegba, Elegua, gave Achoisi the task of hunting down a rare bird that Orula needed because he wanted to give it as a gift to Olosi. So Elegba knew, like, hey, don't worry about it, Orula. I know the perfect hunter who can hunt this bird down. He hasn't felt me yet. I'll let him know. So Elegba lets him know about the task and the type of bird that is needed. So she's like, no problem, I got you. Me and my pair, we about to go. So Achoisi immediately got on the mission, hunting down the bird, found it, got it, caged it, and left it at his grandmother's home. But in this story, it's not his pair, but it's a gift to Olofi that's in the cage. So he puts the bird in the cage. He goes to Elegba, look, been there, done that, got the bird in the cage. Just let me know when you need it. We're good to go. So with Achoisi being a hunter, Achoisi's grandmother is used to him bringing home food for her to cook, whether it's a deer, it's a bear, it's the whatever. She's just used to animals being there for her to prepare for a meal. So when Achoisi's grandmother saw the bird, she was like, okay, Achoisi got a bird for us to cook. Let me get on it because I know he's going to be exhausted after he gets in from hunting. So she gets the bird, and she prepares the bird as a meal. Achoisi brings Elegba over to see the bird so he can take it to Orula. Then they walk in, and they just see the feathers left over of the bird. So Achoisi is pissed off. This was his chance to really show off his hunting skills to Elegba, Olofi, and Orula, and the bird is gone. So Achoisi went outside, pissed off, stuck his bow into the air and said, may this arrow strike the person who ate the gift of Olofi. And he walks back in disappointed, and he finds his grandmother laying on the ground with an arrow in his chest, in her chest, because she thought that the bird was supposed to be for a meal. Achoisi immediately felt guilty because he didn't know that his grandmother was a part of the cookeration of the bird. But he knew that he wanted justice, and technically justice was served, so he was kind of satisfied in his decision. So, of course, this story shows how passionate Achoisi is about justice and fairness by any means necessary. This also shows that as we strive for justice and fairness, sometimes the result may not be as what we want. It may be something different that was still for the betterment of us as well. This story also shows that as you are going through your glory, living your best life, it could be your own people that'll mess you up, because in the first story, the grandmother knew the relationship between the parent and Achoisi, but for her own selfish needs, she took the bird and cooked it, even though Achoisi was out hunting trying to prepare the meal. She just decided, like, hey, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat the bird. So this also shows that you have to watch out for people in your close circles, and this is also one of Achoisi's qualities. So when we pray to the universe saying, hey, please reveal my enemies, someone's trying to backstab me, I don't know who, when we do those type of prayers and meditations and want for it to be revealed, sometimes it can be someone you're close to. It could be your best friend, your mom, your dad, and you don't see it up front, but Achoisi is able to reveal the people who don't have support, because he's all about getting to the destination as quick and as fair as possible. And this also reminds me of when I see my boyfriend do readings and he's doing a 12-card spread that reveals the friends and enemy reading. Sometimes the person he's describing is someone that's close to the client, but they don't want to believe it. Like, it sounds like they're describing my brother, but I know it's not my brother because my brother always supports me. And then they reveal something else about that situation and end up coming true. So I always associate those two houses, the 11th and the 12th house, as the houses of a choice, just because it's able to reveal who's really for you or who's really against you. So just circling back to us as humans and our relationship to nature, just to show you guys some similarities on how there is a balance, this is basically saying that how we demonstrate stress is the same way nature demonstrates stress as well, to show that we are one and how we should live in harmony. For example, when some people get stressed, they may pick at their hair or they may lose their hair. They may start losing a lot of weight. You can physically see that they're under some type of stress. The same way with nature. When we see a soil depletion, that just shows that there's an overpopulation or an overgrowth of a certain plant that's taking up all the space. So there's a balance between the both. When we're stressed, it can show visibly. And when nature is stressed, it can show visibly through different elements as well. Also, when it comes to manifestation, I make this correlation as well. We'll get into that part later on with our next story. But just wanted to give you guys that example. Also, when Africans were forced over to the Western Hemisphere, they were in a new environment. They didn't comfortable exercising their practices because it's like, okay, I have these herbs in Africa. Where are these herbs at here? It was a choice who gave them the knowledge and the adaptability to get adapted to their new environment so that they can still continue to practice. Like, okay, I know we use that over there in Africa, but over here in America, they're a little, you know. So we got to start using these herbs. Use this herb for this. This can substitute for this. This is an herb that we didn't have over here, so you can use this. Just to keep that knowledge continuing. And it was also his work with Yemaya as well to bring over the practices and the transition along with the other Orisha as well, so we wouldn't get lost or detached from our spirituality, even though some people need to go back to their roots. So let's get into a nature story and how Ochoisi is all about reaching our destination and living in our goals. So one day, Ochoisi was minding his business like he always do. And then it was one hunter. This is during the time where the animals migrated somewhere, so food was a little scarce. A hunter came up to a choice, like, hey, I know you are the know-all, do-all of hunting. Listen, I'm not having any luck. I need some quick wealth. What can I do? I need food. I need money. Like, I'm stuck. What can you do to help me? So a choice was like, okay, no problem. And he handed the hunter a pouch full of pumpkin seeds. So the hunter looked in the bag, and he immediately thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to turn into some gold coins. This is going to turn into money. Let me go home and protect this because this is my wealth. So he rushes home and then looks into the pouch and is disgusted that there are still pumpkin seeds in the pouch. He was expecting a rare diamond or some gold. He was expecting it to turn into something so he can have his wealth, because when he requested wealth from a choice, he gave him the pouch. So he was disappointed when he thought it was still pumpkin seeds. So feeling discouraged and upset, he threw the pumpkin seeds to one of his workers and was like, here, I'm going to go tell Ochoisi that he isn't who he say he is. He doesn't know what he's doing, and his magic did not work because I'm still poor, I don't have any food, and I have nothing to sell to the village. So he goes off looking for Ochoisi while the farmer, his worker, sees the pumpkin seeds and like, okay, well, let me plant these. So he plants the pumpkin seeds. They turn into these beautiful, juicy, lustrous pumpkins, and he begins to sell them to the village. And due to there was a food shortage and everyone was in need of food, he became extremely wealthy off of selling those pumpkins, which was initially meant for the hunter, but he didn't want to put in the work to actually do it. He thought it would just magically happen itself. So while the hunter was still looking for a choice seed, the worker who decided to take those seeds and plant them literally grew wealthy off of Ochoisi's generosity. So this story is basically an example of how people who get magical spell work done just think, okay, I did this spell. I should wake up around tomorrow, 8 a.m., a little rich, a little slimmer, a little happier, married, two kids. They expect everything just to magically happen. without putting in the work. This product key demonstrates that when it comes to transformation, the relationship between you, nature, and the universe, everything happens bit by bit, step by step, and increment by increment to keep the balance at a float. Because if you were just to wake up one day rich, where's the balance? Where's the self-growth in the process? Were you prepared for it? Was your environment prepared for it? And this is also a correlation with nature that I was going to mention before. When you put a plant into the ground, you can't plant a lemon tree to just stand there and be like, okay, boop, there goes my lemon tree. The seed has to get adjusted to the soil. The roots have to grow. The roots have to grow as the tree grows to make sure that the foundation is able to sustain what's going from the top, the growth that's going on at the top. If the growth of the tree were to outgrow the root, it would be imbalanced. If everything were just to happen so quickly without everything transforming as well, it would be a disaster. It wouldn't be fruitful. So when we do manifestation, when we do magic work, you always have to remember everything is a process. And also with Achoicy, he's able to pinpoint when changes or hazardous things are about to happen in nature. Like, okay, there's a storm. Okay, this is about to happen. This soil is changing, so that means this, that means that. So those are three stories of Achoicy. So let's do a basic breakdown of him as well. Achoicy's day is June 6th. His numbers are 3, 4, and 7, and his colors are blue and yellow and sometimes green. Some of the food and offerings Achoicy likes are grapes, pears, toasted corn, if you really want to do it up. Some of the things that represent Achoicy are deer horns, a bow, a crossbow, three arrows, a small mirror, fish hooks, hunting and fishing materials are symbols. Children of Achoicy are known to be ambitious and love to take risks. They seek changes, they love excitement, and they are very clever and quick-witted and good with their hands. They are very protective of not only their family, but the families in their neighborhood, people who they care about. So if your friend is the child of Achoicy, your friend is their friends too, and they're going to make sure that they protect them. And they often take careers as hunters, fishermen, detectives, or judges because they are all about fairness. So anything in the legal field, usually the children of Achoicy prosper in that area. Also, speaking of the Ashe of Achoicy, you can get your Sage Ashe shirts from BlackWitchYaya.com along with your Black Obsidian. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this video, and I will see you next time. But until next time, you guys, always remember, as above, so below, as within, so without, as the universe, so the soul. Until next time, you guys, Ashe, David.
Ha. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, that was beautiful. Achoicy is a Gemini. Hello. I was like, I resonate with this energy so much. So, you know, when it comes to recent guys, what I have learned is that we have to play in the energy. You know what I mean? As far as different energies, different deities, figuring out what works for you. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say that we take on the deities that we are the deity, because I feel that we are personally our own deities, right? Although, there's different in the cycles and the levels in which we grow through, right? There are different energy spaces that we work with. You know, I know Oshun was real heavy as far as the ending of a cycle, right? Achoicy might be heavy as far as the merging or the death and the rebirth, you know what I'm saying, of a different cycle. You know, it's just, this is why it's also so important to know thyself. You know what I'm saying? But knowing thyself in your own way. You know what I mean? So I'm going to save the long clip for tomorrow's podcast, because I think tomorrow I have Oshu. Who do I have? I think the leg band Oshu is the same. Like I said, guys, motivational classroom. I'm still learning too. So if you feel the need to correct me, you can always email me at Henson Awareness, yeah, a shoe. All right. So, yeah, you can always email me. Linktree, everything's in the show notes. But let's see. What was I going to do to end this podcast? Yeah, just, you know, with everything that is going on right now, in the universe, guys, is very important to keep ourselves in balance, to keep ourselves in justice, to keep ourselves in my yacht, to keep ourselves in fairness. You know what I'm saying? So this is why Achosi, I was wondering, I'm like, sometimes I put these things on the calendar and stuff like that, and I'm like, okay, I don't understand, y'all, why sometimes things move the way they move, even on this platform. You know what I mean? But I'm always following orders. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is things that move through me. Creativity, right? Happy retrograde to everybody. If you are going through when it comes to retrograde, you guys, what I have learned is that, you know, you don't have to adopt the perspective that retrograde is such a bad thing. It's such a bad thing because a lot of us do not understand how to, we don't know thyself on levels, how to work with our shadow selves, with our dark selves. You know what I'm saying? We, this society has taught us to be so resistant. Be so resistant. That's another one that I'm going to be doing later. Anyway, guys, I'm going to leave you with Ralph Smart. There was a lecture that I was listening to, this rising, which was really, really good. But, yeah, that's it. And we are going to get more into the Orisha issue tomorrow. And that is it, guys. 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, here at Enhancing Awareness Radio. Here we go. 12 ways to bring positive vibrations into your life. All right, guys. Till next time. Peace.
Tell me what you think.
Ralph is great. You guys, please subscribe to his channel, Infinite Waters, on YouTube.
Peace. Infinite Waters, diving deep once again. We are out here in nature, baby. It's so quiet. You could hear a pin drop. 12 ways to bring positive vibrations into your life. Let's just, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. I get tons of messages from people who say, Ralph, I just want to become more positive. I want to bring more positive vibes into my life. My life is kind of hectic right now. My life is really hectic right now, Ralph. Is that you? Do you sometimes feel like the life you're living is a load of crap because you feel like really greasy and slimy with all of that negative energy around you? And you're like, please, just send me some positive vibes. Is that you? We ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello there? So let me share with you what's helped me along my journey. Bring more positive vibes into my life. It starts with this. The first way is to stop trash talking yourself. It's what I call invisible tattoos. Can you imagine if all the bad things, and you know the bad things you said about yourself, were written on your skin? Oh boy. You don't want to see what that would look like. But thank goodness, that's not happening. But wait a minute, it is, because it's what I call invisible tattoos. If you trash talk yourself, bully yourself, say you're no good all the time, I hate my body, I hate my face, I hate my skin color, I hate this, I hate that about myself. You are forming these invisible tattoos. You are defining yourself. You are labeling yourself, and word is bond. Slow motion this side. So how I found out to bring more positive vibes into my life was just to say one good thing about myself. Okay, what is one good thing about Ralph Smart? Can I get a hello? You see, that is bringing positive vibes into my life. By doing that, focus on what is working instead of what isn't working about you. Just one quality, one personality trait that you love and automatically positive vibes are going to start flowing into your life. What's the second way to bring more positive vibrations into your life? What's helped me along my journey is to become conscious of what I'm thinking. Now, the average person has about 60,000 thoughts every single day. What the hell are you thinking about? What is passing through your mind? What is passing through your mind? I had to learn to become conscious of my thoughts because our thoughts create our reality. And a lot of the times, I remember many years ago, I used to think like the worst case scenarios. Now I think that the whole world is working in my favor, okay? And that's how I bring positive vibes into my life. Like, hey, the universe has got my back. You got my back? It's got my back. That's a good sign. What's the third way to bring positive vibrations into your life? Become your own best friend. Look, when people start running away from you, hey, where'd you go? I thought you were my friend. Yeah, they're going to run. People are going to leave you. You're going to be really disappointed. This is called life. And in becoming my greatest version, I've had a lot of people let me down. But I realized the secret that so long as I support myself and hug myself, oh, that feels pretty good, and become my own best friend, automatically I bring positive vibrations into my life because I can control that. I can choose like how much I'm going to hug myself, how tight I'm going to hug myself, how much I'm going to love myself. You can't control if people love you. Some days they love you. Some days, I'm so sorry, they just don't care. So I learned that if you become your own best friend, there is an African proverb which says, when there is no enemy inside, the enemy outside can't hurt you. Slow motion this side. Be your own support and you will start feeling better, bringing those positive vibrations into your life. The fourth way to bring positive vibrations into your life, what's helped me along my journey, is to immerse yourself in nature. Okay, that has helped me so much. If you can get your ass into nature, your beautiful butt into nature, you're going to automatically bring positive vibrations. This is healthy ecotherapy. There is a reason why a lot of people go crazy on the planet, lose control, and go off the edge, because they are so disconnected from nature. And I was 15 years ago, and then I got baptized in nature. Can I get a hello there? Birds are in nature, fresh wind. Like, I love doing videos in nature even, because it's just like I'm getting a two-for-one. Not only am I recording a video, I'm also getting high at the same time of the good-ass piranha, baby. When you immerse yourself in nature, you start absorbing all the frequencies and beautiful vibrations in nature. You start taking in the beautiful aromas, the smells. Nature's got its own swag, baby. I mean, look at this willow tree behind me. It's so groovy, baby. So I'm always learning in nature. I'm either on the beach, I'm going hiking. I got to be in a lush green environment every single day for my own peace of mind. I learned a long time ago, your peace of mind is the highest form of wealth that you will ever attain. Quote me on that, okay? Ralph Smart, good. You got it? Great. Okay. What is the fifth way to bring positive vibrations into your life? What's helped me along my journey is what I call work-life balance. So you probably see me always sharing, and this is not work. This is a lifestyle. You see, I fused work with life, and I created a lifestyle. Work is now play. It is my playground. I'm having a beautiful time. And my work being the lifestyle means that it's a form of meditation. I heal myself through my work. through this beautiful lifestyle I've cultivated in inspiring millions of people. So ask yourself today, when I'm at my job, you're probably at your job watching this, aren't you? Okay. Is this promoting my health? You see, a lot of us, we're in a crummy job we absolutely hate, and then we come back home really late, and then we're trying to have a life. It's not going to happen. So I realized that my job, my work, to be life. I've got to feel good doing it, and that's what I feel. It brings me positive vibrations because I choose to surround myself in like this beautiful nature, serene environment. Like how much better could it get? How much better could it get? Okay? Or maybe if a flamingo walked past, that would be pretty cool. Okay? Work-life balance. Don't just work yourself to death. You didn't come here to do that, or maybe you did. I don't know. But I know I definitely didn't. And that's why I realized you got to live life. You got to travel, do it when you're young. Okay? What is the sixth way to bring more positive vibrations into your life? 7-day vegan challenge. Become more conscious of the foods you are putting into your mouth. Do you even read the label? Like, I know there are a lot of ingredients. That's probably why you got to stay away from that stuff. That's what I told myself. Now, a lot of people are having a great time eating a plant-based diet on the planet. But in time, okay, I wasn't. I was eating a hell of a lot of fast food, and I wasn't conscious of the foods I was eating, not realizing that certain foods carry a certain vibration. And if you aren't aware of that, you're going to put anything into your mouth. Look, you're eating a carpet right now. Can we please stop that? Okay? So if you don't realize how important food is, you must have been hiding under a rock somewhere. Because food is everything. Your health is your wealth. And the more conscious I became of what I was eating, I'm like, okay, if I eat a chia seed porridge first thing in the day, I'm going to have tons of energy. And this chia seed porridge is going to bring me these wonderful positive vibrations. Try it out. Eat a chia seed porridge and tell me what you think. But I used to wake up some days back in the day and just like drink soda, eat biscuits, and then eat greasy fries. And I felt like really sluggish. I don't do that anymore. Sometimes. No, I don't. Of course not. I'm a vegan. The face you make when you haven't told someone you're a vegan for like 1 second. I'm a vegan. So that's how to bring more positive vibrations. Peace starts on your plate. Realize if you are consuming flesh, you are also absorbing that energy. Everything that animal has gone through, you are now taking it in through your DNA. Enjoy your meal. So, if you are eating a lot of sun-kissed foods, you're also absorbing the sun frequencies from that food. So it's all about your fruit and your veg. Bring more positive vibrations into your life. What is the seventh way to bring more positive vibrations into your life? Become conscious of what certain songs are telling you. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What the hell am I listening to? Nobody knows. Okay. Now, I love all kinds of music. I love reggae music. I love classical music. I love house music, definitely. I love hip-hop. I love all kinds of music. But I realized that, like, when I was growing up, sometimes I would be listening to certain hip-hop music, and I'm like, what the hell are they saying in the lyrics? But at the time, I didn't care. And then I realized I would be saying the same stuff in my sleep, like, what the hell? Right, there are a whole load of mumble rappers out here today. I used to be an MC, so I can say that. And it's like, hey, if I'm just listening to a song, it better have some kind of meaning. Otherwise, you see, check this out. They will tell you right now, music, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. It's just about the vibe. That's the kind of age we're living in. And I feel that's pretty cool. But at the same time, I remember when I was really young and I used to sing this song. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you. All right? Do you remember that song? I used to sing that when I was, like, really young, okay? And my mom was like, where'd you hear that from? I'm like, well, I just heard it in a song, right? So I started to realize, look, even as I grew older, you got to become more conscious of the music you are listening to. What is the meaning? What is the message? Pull you to a lower vibration. You have some artists which want to help you move into a positive vibration, and those are the artists you want to celebrate. Lauryn Hill, shout out to you. People who can really help you, right? A lot of artists helped me when I was going through some stuff. Okay, I love classical music. That really helped me deal with anxiety. So music is the universal language. If you are listening to a song where the lyrics are degrading you, women, realize on a subconscious level, that's all going inside you, and you are now inviting a lot of negative toxins into your body. To bring more positive vibrations, let's do a little samba, okay? What's the eighth way to bring more positive vibrations into your life that's helped me along my journey? It's so quiet out here, you can hear a pin drop. When you cultivate a positive vibe, I've seen that you start to attract more positive people into your life. Your vibe attracts your tribe. Some days, I've woke up with a bad attitude, and then I look around and no one's there to be seen, okay? And then I kind of chilled out. I started to love myself a lot more, accept myself, and all of a sudden, it was like a house party at Ralph's house. And we ain't even had breakfast yet, okay? So realize that if you want to start bringing more positive vibrations into your life in the form of people, you've got to be the energy you want to attract. What is the ninth way to bring more positive vibrations into your life, baby, baby? What helped me was to become aware of the vibrational levels of acquaintances, friends, strangers. Look, we become like the people we surround ourselves with most often. I remember along my early journey, I would be going to nightclubs like every other day. And that was pretty cool. I was young. I was having a blast. But then it wasn't, because I would have to wake up the next day and then face reality and say, what am I doing with my life? And not even the cat down the road was there to save me. So I started to realize this, that you've got to become aware of the vibrational levels of the people you are interacting with. Not everyone you hang around with is your friend. Tap into their energy field. Say, okay, what is their energy like? Is it really going to serve me? Or is it going to distract me? Is this person's energy bringing me more positive vibrations? And I learned along my journey, you want to be surrounding yourself with people who are bringing you positive vibrations. And that's what I do every single day. I don't have a lot of friends, but I've got the right ones. Actually, the left ones, because I'm left-handed. The way to bring positive vibrations into your life, baby, baby, cut out. This is what's helped me along my journey. It might work for you. It might not. Leave the TV on if you want. Tells lies to your vision. Don't worry about it. Look, I had to cut out the TV from my life. Low vibrational media had to go. Now, isn't it cool, like, your computer is like a new TV, the internet is like the new TV anyway, kind of kill the TV. I used to watch the TV, I used to watch, like, Sunset Beach, Gregory, right? And then we had these long free screens, like, huh? Low vibrational media has got to go. Like, I actually chucked the TV out of my window when I realized what it actually did. Because I realized for so long I was just sitting down, eating popcorn, getting brainwashed. Now, I'm very conscious of my home environment, and that's how I bring more positive vibrations into my life. I'm like, for one, the TV can go out of here, and then we can bring the cat down the road inside. That's a better replacement, okay? The cat down the road won't brainwash you. Instead, it will actually educate your ass. So ask yourself, me watching TV all the time, what is it really giving me? I learned that it wasn't giving me much. Instead, it was taking away from my creativity to produce content. And I started to attract and bring more positive vibrations into my life when I was actually creating a whole lot more. It's not a about watching television, which tells life your vision. It's also about telling your vision. Slow motion this time. What is the 11th way to bring positive vibration into your life? What helped me is random acts of kindness without asking for nothing back in return. I just put like $1,000 into your account. Don't worry about it. This is what I do. I'm like that, okay? I just cook for you. Don't worry about it, because I'm like that. Here, take my jacket. Don't worry about it, because I'm like that, right? I realize if you want to bring more positive vibrations into your life, realize that just a random act of kindness, sometimes it's a little bit selfish because it makes us feel good, but at the same time, you're giving away so much for free anyway. You're allowed to do that. I realize when I just give and share like I do even now freely, put out videos for free, it brings more positive vibrations into my life. How so? Because I get to meet amazing deep divers every single day. People who would literally invite me into their homes and actually massage my feet. Can't get any better than that. So the next time you pass that homeless person, realize that a dollar could help them. It may not help you, but it could help them. You might find a friend. It's not that you have to be Mother Teresa out here. It's just that you have to realize that, look, random acts of kindness are like so cool because what you give out, I've seen, actually comes back to you. You put out positive vibrations. Usually you get positive vibrations back. Oh, my gosh, I just got a slap from the universe. Don't worry about it. Usually you get positive vibrations back. And what is the 12th way to bring more positive vibrations into your life? Practice more compassion and more forgiveness. That's what's helped me along my journey. I feel that as a child, I was really compassionate because I'm a Pisces, but then later on in life, I got a little bit mean. Uh-oh, because I was like getting hard. I thought, okay, it's a dirty world. I got to play dirty. Don't let the world change your smile or your cool demeanor, okay? And to bring positive vibrations, I've learned you've got to have compassion, not only for others, but for yourself. And don't let the world change you. Like, forgive all of those people who stole your lunch at school. Forgive them. Forgive them right now. All of those people who stepped on your toes, forgive them. But let's get serious. When some people actually do us really dirty, they screw us over, you've got to realize that if you are holding on to grudges, they could have forgot about that, but you're still holding on to it. So don't become a prisoner of your mind by worrying what someone has catch up with their ass, baby. Just realize that a lighter heart is not only better for your cardiovascular system and your health, but you can now move forward. So what I realize is that I forgive anyone who's wronged me and stolen my bunch of grapes. I forgive you, okay? And I'm practicing compassion as well to bring more positive vibrations into my life. I really want to open up an animal farm and just, like, feed the animals all day because I feel that animals are like heroes, right? So those are the 12 ways to bring more positive vibrations into your life. We're out here in nature, baby. Feels so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello there? Let's just, whoa, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Let me say that again. Feel so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello there? That's better. Have a beautiful baby diver. Infinite waters. Diving.
Yeah, B. Talk your shit.
Partner, let me upgrade your
face. How you gonna upgrade me? I'm tired of number one. You know I used to beat that block. Now I bees the block.
Let me upgrade.
I hear you be the block, but I'm the life to keep the streets on. Notice you the type that likes to keep them on the leash, though. I'm known to walk alone, but I'm alone for a reason. Sending me a drink ain't appeasing. Believe me, come harder. This won't be easy. Don't doubt yourself. Trust me, you need me. This ain't no shoulder.
D-boy who infiltrated all the corporate dudes. They call shots, I call audibles. Shake up the jeweler, bubbles, the rain sort of do. It's big ballin', baby, when I'm courting you. I'm talking spy bags and fly pads and rooms at the Bloomberg and rumors. You on the verge of a new merge, cause that rock on your finger's like a tumor. You can't fit your hand in your new purse. It's humorous to me, they watching and we just jotting Allen, hopping off of your mafia coast. Mafioso, oh baby, you ever seen satin? No, not the car, but everywhere we are. You sure to see stars, this is high level, not eye level. My bezel, courtesy your Audemars, I order yours tomorrow. Now look at the time I saved ya, mama let me upgrade ya.
Just when you think you had it all, big income, no collecting cars. Picture your life elevated with me, make you my project celebrity. I keep your name my little green eye. Hermes briefcase, Cartier pot clip, silk line blazers, diamond cream facials, CBS cufflinks, six star pimp tweet, tryna let me upgrade you, upgrade you, tryna let me upgrade you, upgrade you, let me upgrade you, upgrade you, tryna let me upgrade you.